All right, let's dive into a Supreme Court case that's still causing a stir today. Kirby v. Illinois. We're going to figure out when exactly your right to a lawyer kicks in during those criminal investigations. Using, you know, excerpts from the case briefs and the full opinions, the whole shebang.
Yeah, you know what makes this case so interesting? It really gets to the core of the Sixth Amendment. You know, makes us really think about whether those protections are there right when you're arrested, or do you have to wait till you're officially charged?
Right, yeah.
Big question.
Definitely. We've got some really interesting stuff to unpack today, and I'm really curious to hear your take on it all. So for our listeners, just to set the scene, this case goes all the way back to 1972, originating from a robbery in Chicago.
Right. The victim, Willie Shard, he reported that two guys had stolen his wallet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It had, you know, traveler's checks, his Social Security card, all that personal stuff.
Oof, the worst.
The worst.
And this is where the story takes a kind of crazy turn. The very next day, two Chicago police officers stopped the petitioner, Kirby, along with a guy named Ralph Bean. They weren't even suspects in the robbery at that point.
Hey, nope, not at all.
They stopped them because they thought Kirby was this other guy named Hampton.
Oh, wow.
Who was wanted for a totally different crime. During the stop, they asked for ID, you know, routine stuff.
Right.
And it just so happens that Kirby's carrying a wallet with Willie Shard's stuff in it. Total coincidence.
No way. So I bet the officers were pretty surprised when they arrest Kirby and Bean for that other thing and then find out about Shard's robbery, huh?
Oh, yeah. Talk about a twist of fate. They sent a car right away to bring Shard down to the station. And when he got there, boom, he identified both Kirby and Bean as the robbers.
Wow. But that's where things get tricky, right? This all went down before Kirby or Bean were officially charged with anything. Like, they were in this weird legal limbo. Totally. They hadn't been in front of a judge, nobody officially said they committed a crime, and most importantly, they didn't have a lawyer with them when Shard identified them.
Right. So that brings us to that big question the Supreme Court had to figure out. Does the Sixth Amendment right to counsel, you know, that right to have a lawyer, does that apply even before someone's officially charged with something?
And the majority opinion, led by Justice Stewart, said no.
Really?
Yeah. Their reasoning was that this right only kicks in after what they called adversary judicial proceedings begin.
Okay, so for those of us who aren't legal scholars, that basically means it starts when you're officially in court facing charges.
Yeah.
Like through a formal charge, preliminary hearing, indictment, arraignment, all that.
Exactly. They saw these formal steps as the official start of the, you know, adversarial justice system, where the government's saying, hey, we're coming after you.
I see.
Yeah.
So because they ID'd Kirby before any charges were filed, the majority ruled that his Sixth Amendment right to counsel wasn't violated.
Right. But, and this is important, it was far from a unanimous decision. Justices White and Brennan, they wrote some pretty powerful dissents.
Yeah, I bet.
They argued that the chance of a mistaken ID is just as high, maybe even higher, before charges are filed. Especially in situations like a police station show up, you know, it can be pretty suggestive.
I can see how someone in that position might feel pressured to just agree with the police, even if they weren't totally sure.
Exactly. And Justice Brennan hit on that point. Mm. He called this particular show up highly suggestive.
Right.
And emphasized how much pressure Shard must have felt to back up the cops. His argument was that if you let these IDs happen without a lawyer, it could mess up the whole legal process, you know, make it less fair.
It's almost like there were two separate trials, one happening at the police station without a lawyer, and then the actual one in the courtroom.
That's a really sharp observation.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, and Brennan was clearly worried that what went down in that first trial at the police station could influence the real trial.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then to complete the picture, Chief Justice Berger and Justice Powell also chimed in with concurring opinions.
Right.
Berger agreed with the majority, but really emphasized the importance of those formal charges as the trigger for Sixth Amendment rights. But Powell, he just agreed with the outcome, didn't really give his own reasoning.
Yeah, he was just like, yep, sounds good to me.
Yeah. So there were a lot of different legal perspectives, even before we get into the long-term consequences of this Kirby ruling. What stands out to you most so far?
I think what really gets me is this balancing act the court had to do. Like, how do you let the police do their job, but also protect individual rights even before they're officially charged? It's tricky.
Yeah.
And you can see how this case has had a lasting impact.
For sure.
Yeah, it is a tough one, right? Like, how do you let the police do their investigations, but also make sure people's rights are protected, even if they haven't been charged yet? It's a tough question, and it's right at the heart of why this Kirby ruling is still so important today.
Yeah, it feels like walking a tightrope.
Yeah.
So how did this ruling actually change how police do things and how evidence gets used in court?
Well, the Kirby decision basically drew a line, right? It said this is when the right to counsel starts during an investigation.
I see.
Before Kirby, it was a lot less clear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So does that mean that during things like police questioning or lineups or even looking at photos, a suspect doesn't automatically have a right to a lawyer if they haven't been officially charged yet?
Exactly. And this has had a big impact on how law enforcement does investigations.
Yeah, I bet.
They try to gather all the evidence they can, including identifications, before they file those formal charges.
Okay, but that brings up some serious concerns, right? Like what the dissenting judges were saying about things being unfair or getting a mistaken ID. Couldn't this lead to situations where someone's wrongly identified before they even have a chance to talk to a lawyer?
Absolutely. And you've hit on a really important point. The Kirby ruling didn't get rid of bad or suggestive identification procedures. It just said when that Sixth Amendment protection kicks in. So the responsibility falls on the defense to challenge how reliable any pre-charge ID is once the case gets to court.
Okay, so what would you tell someone who's being questioned or asked to do a lineup before they've been officially charged?
That's such a good question. It really highlights how important it is to know your rights. Even though you might not automatically have the right to a lawyer there, you always have the right to stay silent and to ask for a lawyer. Using those rights is so, so important.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that you don't have to go through this alone. You have choices and you got to stand up for yourself even in those early stages of an investigation.
Exactly. And, you know, apart from directly affecting police procedures, the Kirby case started a bigger conversation about the Sixth Amendment, you know, and how it works in a world where technology is always changing, especially all the stuff that wasn't even around in 1972.
Right. I'd love to hear more about that. What are some ways those new technologies have made things more complicated?
Well, think about body cameras, right? Facial recognition software, DNA testing. All these things have changed how investigations work. And in some ways, they've kind of blurred the lines that Kirby tried to set.
I see. Yeah.
So, for example, should using facial recognition to find a suspect count as the start of adversary judicial proceedings, even if charges haven't been filed? Or how does having police interactions recorded all the time with body cameras, how does that change things before charges? Does it even the playing field or make things more complicated?
Those are some really interesting questions. So it sounds like Kirby, while clarifying some things, also opened up a whole new set of legal puzzles.
You got it. The conversation didn't end with Kirby. It just shifted and kept going as technology changed and brought new challenges. This case shows us that the law isn't stuck in time. It's always adapting, changing its interpretation, and trying to find that balance between justice and individual rights.
So it's not enough to just understand the ruling. You have to think about the context and how it could be interpreted or challenged as things change.
Exactly. And that brings us to another really important takeaway from this case. Legal precedent has its limits. Kirby set a boundary, but it couldn't predict every situation that might come up. It's a starting point, not the whole blueprint.
Sounds like understanding cases like this takes more than just knowing the law. It takes critical thinking, looking beyond the black and white.
Absolutely.
This whole discussion about Kirby v. Illinois and how technology is changing things, it really shows how important it is to have a lawyer, especially early on in a criminal investigation. You know, it's easy to underestimate what can happen even in a normal police encounter.
Oh, absolutely. Having a lawyer, someone who really understands the law and can guide you, can make all the difference. It's about protecting your rights.
Yeah, it's like having a guide through a maze, you know, someone who knows the shortcuts, the dead ends, and where the traps are.
That's a great way to put it. It's not just about knowing the rules, but how those rules work in real life. How to tell your story, how to make sure you're treated fairly every step of the way.
Right. Right. So if you ever find yourself dealing with any legal issue, even if it seems small, talking to a lawyer early on is always a good idea.
Definitely. And, you know, like we saw with Kirby and all the new technology coming out, the legal world is always changing.
Like trying to hit a moving target.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's important to stay informed, know what your rights are, and get advice from the experts.
Knowledge is power, especially when you're dealing with legal stuff. Well, I think that brings us to the end of our deep dive into Kirby v. Illinois. Hopefully this is giving you a better grasp of this landmark case and how it still affects us today.
Absolutely. We encourage you to keep thinking about these issues, especially the Sixth Amendment and how it works in a world that's constantly changing. Thanks for joining us on this fascinating journey.